up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello, I'm Vaughan Bennison. Welcome to this edition of New Horizons. On the 7th of December 2016, Victoria held its annual Human Rights Oration. We weren't able to attend this year, but we were able to get a recording of the event, and we're going to feature it over the next few weeks. Graham Innes was the keynote speaker at the Human Rights Oration. We've heard from Graham a few months ago about his book Finding a Way. But this week, we feature the introductory remarks by Kristen Hilton, the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commissioner.
Welcome to the 15th Human Rights Oration. It's the Commission's most significant annual event and a chance for a really probing discussion about how human rights affect the lives of everyday Victorians. It's great to see so many friends of the Commission here at this beautiful venue, and I think your presence reflects the really strong relationships that the Commission has. I think it also reflects Graham's enduring popularity and the really important topic that we're going to talk about today. We're going to hear from Graham, and then we're going to have a panel discussion informed by questions that we've received actually from some of the audience. And we're also going to hear the stories of Neil, Marianne and Juliet. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, pay my respects to any elders past or present and to any Aboriginal people here today. I'd also like to acknowledge our board members, Chair Moana Weir, Colleen Pearce, Absalon Nigger, Megan Boston and Jennifer Huppert. And also like to acknowledge the presence of Lynn Coulson Barr, the Mental Health Complaints Commissioner. And a shout out to all the people from the City of Dandenong and the City of Darebin who are using this event as their Human Rights Week event, and we're streaming it live to them. So it's great to have contact with so many people. I'm not going to ask you to turn your phones off, but I will ask you to put them on silent, and I will ask you also to tweet so we can get this event trending. We're at hashtag HRO2016. Today is about a couple of things. Firstly, it's about celebrating United Nations Human Rights Day, which falls this Saturday, and it's about affirming our commitment to protecting and promoting human rights. And in this changing world, I heard it referred to as the post-truth era the other day, it's a timely affirmation, because there are pretty strong indicators out there that there is a deepening disturbance, distrust, people feeling disaffected. It may be caused by rising wealth inequality. It may be caused by an anti-establishment zeitgeist or the massive displacement of peoples. It's likely to be a combination of all of these things. And during this unmooring, if you like, the core tenets of the human rights framework of equality, respect, dignity and participation are particularly important. We need to keep them close. This week we celebrate almost 70 years since the UN General Assembly adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It states, all human beings are born with equal and inalienable rights and fundamental freedoms. In Victoria, the spirit of that declaration resides in the Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities, the Equal Opportunity Act, and the Racial and Religious Tolerance Act. We're the only state in Australia to have such protections, and it's something that we should be rightly proud of, but also vigilant. Many of you here, as I look around, will know the Charter well. Some of you can probably quote whole sections, and yet, since it became legislation 8 years ago, it hasn't perhaps properly transformed the way in which we would like about how government makes decisions or how government policy is interacted. One of our roles at the Commission is to keep adjusting the lens, turning the dial on to reveal or to test how government decisions and actions enhance or limit rights, how they may encroach on freedoms, particularly on people who are most vulnerable. Part of the job of the Commission is also to make real or to translate the aspiration of the legislation in a way that makes a difference to the lives of everyday Victorians, in a language and a context that makes sense, that holds truth to power, that provides redress, that works not just on an individual level, but across the community and across government. Over the last year, we've done this by working with many organisations, perhaps most significantly Victoria Police. We've helped them change their operating environment into one in which women and men will become equally valued, promoted and supported. This has been transformative work. It hasn't finished, but it's exactly the sort of work that's contemplated by the launch of Victoria's Gender Equality Strategy this week. We've developed Report Racism, a third-party reporting tool for Aboriginal community members to report racism. We've worked closely with the Department of Education and Training to improve the lives of students with disabilities. And Mandy Donnelly, Principal Practice Leader, is here, and we've really enjoyed working with you, Mandy, and we'll continue to do so. And we've resolved hundreds of complaints of discrimination across the state. Last week, together with the Judicial College of Victoria, we launched the Disability Access Benchbook, a resource which will positively change the way people with disabilities are treated in the justice system. And a couple of months ago, at the Royal Women's Hospital, a group of doctors, nurses, healthcare professionals, advocates came together and launched Signs for Health, which is a web resource for hospital staff and patients to assist people who are deaf, hard of hearing, or deafblind. We did this because we heard from our community. In one case, we heard from a deaf man who was operated on without knowing what the operation was for because he didn't have access to an Auslan interpreter. In another case, a woman was kept under anaesthesia for much longer than she needed to be because no one could locate an Auslan interpreter for her. These examples of making human rights real are as important as our strategic interventions in the Supreme Court, like the one that we'll make on Friday in relation to the detention of young offenders in an adult prison, or our high-profile reviews. Making human rights real is part of Graham Innes' journey. I read his book a couple of weeks ago, Finding My Way, which I recommend as a very informative chronicle of the disability rights movement in this country, about the single-mindedness of Graham, but also as a great love story. And it's interesting, I actually read it on my 10th anniversary weekend, so it was quite fitting. I'm not sure, though, at the end of that story, which love came first, whether it was sailing, cricket or Maureen. Perhaps Graham can tell us more about that. Graham Innes was Australia's Disability Discrimination Commissioner from 2005 to 2014. As a human rights advocate for the past 30 years, he'd played a major role in many human rights and disability initiatives, including the drafting of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Graham was admitted as a member of the Order of Australia in 1995 in recognition of his work. Graham will focus today on the right to work and the rights of people with disability to access meaningful employment. Each year, disability is the most common area of complaint to the Commission. And almost half of the complaints relate to discrimination on... Graham's very eager to get up here. I haven't quite finished. And almost half of the complaints relate to discrimination on the basis of disability in the workplace. This is not a minority issue. In Victoria, there are about 1 million people living with a disability. And a third of those people, that's about 350,000, have a profound or severe disability. In Victoria, 26% of people with disabilities don't study beyond year 10. People with disabilities are almost five times more likely than the general population to live in state-supported rental accommodation. The average weekly income of Victorians with a disability is 48% less than the general population. We know these facts, they're reported on regularly, and in fact, but nothing seems to shift much in their consistency. Earlier this year, my mum's partner was diagnosed with motor neurone disease. In just the last 4 weeks, he and my mum have been refused assistance 3 times in trying to get his wheelchair onto a bus. An airline have cancelled their flights because of a 2-wheelchair flight quota, and he's lost his job. He was a bus driver, so his condition means that he can no longer work, but so many people with disabilities can. And now is the time to think about how we can change this, how we can make our workplaces more inclusive and more diverse, and to think properly about what diversity means. At the launch for Signs for Health, I was struck anew by how beautiful Auslan is. and how culturally important that language is to the deaf community. In his book, Graham also talks about his deep affinity and his reliance on Braille. And this is part of what I think we should be talking about when we talk about diversity. A person who lives with a disability has a different way of experiencing the world, physically, culturally, socially, and intellectually. And do I think that the world is richer when there is a diversity of experience and intuition and of being? The answer is yes. Diversity and inclusion are not about the erasure of difference, but about the accommodation and the embracing of it. And on that note, Graham, I'd like you to deliver the 2016 Human Rights Oration.
That was Kristen Hilton, Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commissioner. And you'll have to wait to hear from Graham Innes next week on New Horizons. And now to some news on BCA. Recently, we spoke to Lauren, who was filling in as the operational manager up until the end of this year. Unfortunately, we've had a few CEOs or EOs over the last couple of years, and John Devine resigned in October owing to ill health. Lauren's been filling much of his position over the last couple of months, but Lauren will be reducing her hours and focusing on advocacy work over the next few months. So BCA is looking for people who are interested in filling the role of executive officer for at least the next 12 months with a possibility of ongoing work. Now, the expression of interest is available from the Blind Citizens Australia website, so please make sure that you download that and have a look at it if you're interested. A one-page covering letter and a CV are expected, and the closing date for the expression of interest is the 9th of January. So if you're interested in heading up Australia's peak body for people who are blind or vision impaired, then have a look at the BCA website, download that expression of interest, fill it out and send it back. As I said, the 9th of January is the closing date for that expression of interest. So on behalf of all BCA members, thanks to Lauren Henley for filling the position over the last couple of months. And of course, we look forward to hearing from and working with Lauren in the future. That's it for New Horizons this week. I do hope you have a fabulous Christmas and a really good new year. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted, as always, by telephone on 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660, or by email on bca@bca.org.au. The office will be closed down for the next couple of weeks, so don't expect an immediate call back if you ring and leave a message. However, people will be attending to phone calls when the office reopens in early January. Do take care. As I said, have a great Christmas and a fabulous new year. And I'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.